Hey there, Morton. How you doing?
Hey, Jerry, how are you doing? I'm good.
Nice and sunny in
Good.
California for you. Yeah, that's nice. You got your Life X light on behind you?
I do have my life things light on.
You're such
My
a
hue is off right now, but
Yeah, I see that. I see that. Now, you're kind of an open source guy, right? You really contribute to the community and open source projects, don't you?
now and then, yeah.
Now and then, I think you even maybe even own a repository.
I might own a couple, yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about a little bit of them. Let's talk about triggers, because in Windows 10, adaptive triggers are brand new and allows us to basically snap to different visual states depending on some sort of condition. But that's sort of where it stops. Out of the box, we've only shipped one based on the width and the height of the screen.
True. Well, there's another one. There's the base one that's just true or false.
And there's true, right,
So there's two. So if something is true or false, you can switch a state or a window width.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's
And
take a look.
there's not enough. And so your repository sort of addresses this issue, right? Starts expanding it out.
Expanding when I so one of my things I really liked about WPF was actually data binding to we have data triggers. And the state triggers is kind of half of that, and it's really neat because it allows us to do a bunch of actions based on the state of some attributes of it, which you can actually bind to.
Yeah.
So I have the repo right here,
So it's
but I
GitHub
have
slash dot Morton slash Windows state triggers. Gotcha.
yes, but I'm actually just for clarity, I have a little standard trigger here. Just gonna drag the window over. And just the typical thing is you're on a desktop, it looks like this, and when you get an error, it's more of maybe a phone view or a narrow view, it actually changes view.
Yeah.
That's typical what uses the state trigger for that's built in, right? So it looks like adapter trigger minimum width. Based on that, you'll want to set the width of my pane, my text. I might want to change this based on the two triggers, which is great. But that's kind of, as I said, that's kind of where it stops
Which is
if you build.
cool because you're showing visual state tr setters, and that's another thing that we introduced with Windows 10. So another
Yeah.
it so much more readable, you know what I mean?
Right. Because if you just don't do a storyboard, but you don't really just want to do it instantly, you have to write a whole storyboard and do like keyframes,
Yeah.
but you just only have one keyframe. It's a lot of work. So this is a lot simpler for those quick things. But it could be a storyboard too if you want to make a nice animated in and out effect of my pane, of course. You get both. So the state trigger sample is the Windows state triggers library has a lot more. So let me actually run this sample. There is a little demo app in there that shows all of them. And boom, boom, boom.
This repo's been around a long time. Even while everything was in preview, you had this repo on early iterations of how the triggers were implemented.
Correct, yeah. So I had to make a few updates after the first release because there were some breaking changes during the betas. But yeah, it's been fairly popular, and a lot of these triggers actually are community. I haven't even written one, many of them. So it's really great that a lot of people have kind of come together and contributed. And so a lot of them are just people who has various needs. But here's kind of just a quick little test of all of them. For instance, device family, I'm on desktop. I can see whether my internet is available. If I were to pull the internet plug right now, this text would change
Don't
to
do
say not
that because
available.
we're on
But
Skype.
then the phone call, yeah, will probably also change. And you won't be able to see it afterwards, but it does. Or a typical one, you want to show a hardware back button if you don't have a back button, but for instance on the phone you often do. So this button will actually not show on a phone because it has a back button. So you can do various quick adaptives based on that.
Cool.
Or like if you want to do a little more advanced, I can do regular expressions or whether something's empty. So here's just string is empty or not, my list is empty. Regular expressions is blah blah
Huh.
blah at email.
Not a...
If I can spell. Now it's about email. So you can do all sorts of things with this. Makes it really simple. You don't have to write a bunch of code behind to actually track and do this.
Now, let me stop you for a second. The having an email regular expression visual state feels like you're cracking nuts with a steamroller. That's a pretty big. You would. I mean, if you had 15 email. I mean, if you have 15 form fields, you wouldn't have 30 visual states, would you? What do you think?
You could have as many states as you want.
Well, I know you
Yeah, I
could.
mean, yeah. But the nice thing is I don't have to write a bunch of code behind it.
Oh,
I can leave
yeah.
this by design. And here is the regular expression, right? So it's not really a whole lot. But you could write a control, You can write a little email input
Oh, and then
field.
it could have
Oh.
visual states inside that control.
And then you can just repeat that control, so you don't have to write this so many times.
That's nice. All right, so there's the syntax. You go to visualState.stateTriggers, and you pass in whichever trigger you pick out of your list. Oh, that's nice.
Let me just grab the email box so I can actually bind for these. And then here's the expression for my email, and then what I should ignore, case in my regular expression. And then it just says, well, if it turns valid, then make this write it as valid, change the color to green, and the button turns on. Now you can actually hit the submit button.
Yeah.
But of course, sometimes you want more than one field to answer for you have the submit button. So another thing that's been added is these composite triggers where you can do multiple triggers together. So here I actually have multiple conditions, whether it's less than or between and higher.
Yeah.
Or here I can have multiple. I actually check multiple values for whether you have to select too many, you just want to select one or two. So similar, here's a composite sample. Not sure why it gets squigglies, but that's...
So the composite is basically, what if I needed two triggers or three triggers? Because if you didn't use your composite trigger, then it ends up being just one big or. If you used all three
right.
of those, any of those three would be true. But now, with
right.
because of the composite, you have the option to put this operator of and I think you probably even have others.
All right, so this one should say all of them should be true before this thing becomes true. So I have an and operator. If I set it to or, it's the same as the ones built in.
Yeah.
But if more for completion, we put in that one as well. But there's others. There's also, I just want one. One of them should be true.
Yeah.
And that's what the multiple checkboxes that you solve. If I check more than one, it actually changes the state.
Okay, so that doesn't say at least one. That says only one. I gotcha.
Only one of all these should be true. If more than one is true, and of course, or.
What's the name of this repo when you put, or what's the name of this NuGet package if I wanted to add it to my project?
The NuGet package? I'm glad you asked. It is called Windows State Triggers.
Windows State Triggers. And it's a nicely maintained little NuGet package here. How frequently do you update it?
Not as frequently as I like, but it was actually just updated the other day. I've also been busy with other stuff, like my IoT projects, for instance. It was really fun. Check those out. But I try to stay on top of it as much as I can. And there's been a lot of pull requests, and it's really great to see. And I do encourage more pull requests and comment on the pull requests, and we'll work stuff. So if you have a new trigger that you need or something you feel like is necessary, I believe you have some stuff in your little repo that we'd love to see. So if you feel the need to put it in here, make a pull request or make an issue, and maybe someone else will make that.
I'm always amazed because I run the Template 10 project as well, right? And I'm always amazed how many issues, like overnight, I'll just like blink my eyes and all of a sudden there's five more issues of people asking for a feature, people trying to figure out syntax, and then pull requests as well. Almost, I would say, we get a pull request every other day. And I mean, it's a lot of work to go through these pull requests, make sure it doesn't destroy something. But at the same time, it's kind of cool. It's kind of it's the open source dream in a lot of ways, where people are contributing and they really do invest back into the project.
It is very rewarding. It definitely is. And sometimes we're like, so did you get a chance to look at this? Haven't looked at it yet? And it's like, oh, yeah, shoot, I'm not. You make you feel bad because you had to do something else for a few days. And so it is also a little bit of responsibility, I guess. But it's totally worth it. And you learn a lot. It makes your stuff better because people are doing stuff you hadn't thought about. And they're hitting issues that you hadn't thought about. Like a recent thing was they were trying to use enumerations comparisons, and I hadn't thought about using enumerations because none of my samples did it. So they made a pull request, then we went a little bit back and forth on tweaking the code so it wouldn't break anything, and it got merged in. So that's really great. So actually, for a lot of it, I don't even do the work. Other people do the work, and I just review it. Merge it. So that's great. So it's definitely has been a community project, and there's been a lot of contributors to it.
So if I'm writing a Windows UWP app today, and all I care about is width, I suppose, or height. I've never actually written a trigger that cares about height, but let's just say I care about width and height. That's built in. I can use the adaptive triggers that are out of the box. As soon as I get sophisticated and I want to do anything else, I can start writing my own using the, what is it called, the window, the adaptive trigger base, the trigger base, the visual trigger base. I forget the name. I could write my own from scratch, but that's sort of ridiculous at the same time. Yeah, Chobi, I can't remember what the base
oh,
is.
You want, so put, which one should we look at? The regex one? The regular expression?
Well,
That's fairly
any,
simple.
I'm just curious what the base was.
State trigger base.
State trigger base. I can do
That's
my
right,
own.
Yeah. And really all it is, there is a property called isActive. You just set it true or false. That's all you do. Based on your conditions, it's true or is it false?
That's it. It's that easy. And it is, and that gives me, that's given to me from the base. Now, wait a minute. There's a property called isActive, or there's, or you've created a property called isActive.
Sorry. You're right.
Aha.
Base setActive. That's the one.
That's
my
it.
Bad.
SetActive is what you get with the base.
Yeah,
that's right.
I forget because everyone else is writing the code now and contributing it.
It's true, isn't it? How,
yeah.
Man, you take 2 months off, you look back, you're like, how did I do that again? Yeah. Or they're asking some detailed question about something that you wrote forever ago, and you're like, I don't even know where my brain was at the time. I just know that it works. Stop asking so many questions. So anyway, so I could inherit from state trigger base. I could set active to true or false and kind of go from there. You've created a property, but you've done that, I'm sure, for your so you can read it if whether or not
right,
it's true
yeah,
or false.
I need to read it because I have the composite trigger. So the composite trigger is to be able to check if all of the values are true or false. I have a property and an event for when they change as well.
Yeah, that's logical. I think everybody should do that anyway. Just make their triggers easy. But why? Why write it from scratch? Probably 9 out of 10 or more are already in your library. Just go into NuGet, look for Windows State Triggers, add it, and now you've got a million more that you can use and make your app awesome as well. Morten, you've done good work here, even if it is the community really contributing to it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you started it because this is something that just had to be done. And super useful. We use it in Template 10 as well. Thanks for showing me this.
You're welcome.
Hey, Morten, are you online? Can I find you on Twitter or something like that?
Yes, I am dot Morten.
And not a period, but D-O-T. D-O-T-M-O-R-T-E-N, dot Morten.
Yes.
All right. Oh, let's pretend like we're still talking. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Do you have a demo that you'd like to share? Send a note to Demo of the Day. That's D-O-T-D at Microsoft.com.